You are listening to The Naked Scientist with me, Kat Arney, and also Chris Smith. On to our main topic for this week, and we're taking a trip to the wonderful land of Nod.
We all have a vague notion of what sleep is, but that doesn't mean that defining this mysterious part of our lives is at all simple. Scientists know that we require various types and depths of sleep, all in different amounts and at different times over the course of the average night, but no one knows exactly why. For example, there's non-REM sleep and REM sleep. Now, REM stands for rapid eye movement, whilst non-REM is non-rapid eye movement. This makes up about 75% of our sleep, and there are normally about three different stages to it, but it's generally defined by deep or slow wave sleep. REM sleep, on the other hand, is a lighter form of sleep, and that's characterised by dreaming and also bodily movement, and it normally happens towards the end of a good night's rest. So this week, we're examining the breakthroughs in the science of sleep, and we'll be talking to sleep talkers, lucid dream experts, and also a psychologist who's looking to reduce soldiers' sleep time by up to half. Plus, we'll be hearing about the potentially dangerous effects of what happens when we don't get enough sleep.
But first, when and how long should we sleep for? We're all told to make sure we get a good 8 hours kip every night to stay healthy, but research suggests that when and how long we sleep changes with age. So should we be adapting our lifestyle to suit our sleep needs? Colin Espy is Professor of Sleep Medicine at the University of Oxford, and he's spearheading a groundbreaking study that will mean tens of thousands of teenagers will start school an hour or two later to see if more time in bed and a later start time for their classes might improve their exam results. I spoke to him about the experiment and began by asking how our sleep needs change throughout our lives.
I think a way of thinking about sleep across the lifetime is that it's kind of titrated or adjusted to meet the developing needs of the individual. So the newborn baby needs A, a lot of sleep, and B, a lot of particular types of sleep. For example, a lot of slow wave sleep for growth, a lot of REM sleep, rapid eye movement sleep, because of the coding of all the new learning that's happening. But of course, your learning continues throughout your life, but it doesn't accelerate the way it is when you're newborn, so you don't need so much sleep. We know that by the time you go to school, you're no longer napping during the day. At least your primary school teacher wouldn't appreciate it, whereas your nursery teacher's okay with it. So there's another change, that sleep becomes consolidated into the nighttime period. And of course, then we have the teenagers, don't we, who seem to be defined. Our parents say, "I'm not sleepy," and then they're sleepy in the morning. And we know that just as there are other developmental changes, sleep is affected, and not just sleep, but your circadian rhythm.
But of course, they have to get up and go to school. Tell me about the study that you're doing to maybe try and help them out a bit.
We want to test the hypothesis that a later school start time will pay dividends to the learning of the young person, as, you know, evidenced by better school leaving qualifications. Now, that is a big ambition. But there's good, you know, biological reasons that if teenagers are learning at a more optimal circadian time, that they will do better. But that's just one arm of the study. We want to test that with another element, which is a sleep education program. Often sleep is missed off the agenda. We talk about nutritional needs, we talk about exercise needs at school, but not much about sleep. So we want to help work with teachers to develop a curriculum on sleep for schools. So these two elements we will test separately and together in this trial. And then the fourth arm of the study will just be as things are at the moment. And by having this design, we should be in the best position to tease out what is most effective.
Do you have any idea of what kind of improvement you might be hoping for? Is this the difference between an A grade and a C grade?
That's a very good question, and I wouldn't like to anticipate exactly what the level of difference should be, because there will be some people will be markedly helped by this, one would anticipate, and others less so. And then you end up with an average statistic. It's a bit akin to an intervention that you can use at a public health level. So what we're trying to do is, if you like, shift the whole population curve in terms of its performance. And within that shift, there'll be some people who've benefited more and other people's a bit less. But we don't think it'll do harm to anyone. If you ask any teenager, I think they'd be enthusiastic about this study.
I'm sure they would. That's Oxford's Colin Espy. And the results of his study will be published in 2018. So we'll have to sleep on it for now.
I don't know about teenagers. I'm enthusiastic. I'd like to join that trial, actually. I think I would benefit from an extra hour in bed or two.
Absolutely.